listening to CPR, communitypublicradio.org. And this is Weekday World. I'm your host, Don DeBar. With a report of some of the news and events of the past 24 hours from the CPR Newsroom. From Community Public Radio, this is the CPR News. From New York, I'm Don DeBar.
The ongoing attempt by the U.S. government to effect regime change in Venezuela came to Washington, D.C., and a meeting of the Organization of American States on Thursday. We bring you that meeting in its entirety here.
This special session has been convened at the request of the permanent missions of Argentina, Brazil, Canada, Chile, Colombia, Costa Rica, the United States, and Peru. In line with document CP/INF.8180/19. Before we begin considering the order of business, I would like to invite the distinguished delegations and the public that is with us today to reflect on the symbolic value of the place where we find ourselves, that is the Simón Bolívar Hall, which is the home of the Permanent Council of the OAS. This Simón Bolívar Room is a room deserving of the greatest respect from everyone present. It symbolizes political dialogue at the highest level in our hemisphere and all of our nations. I make a respectful call for everyone to ensure that this political dialogue is conducted within the norms of diplomacy, international law, and those standards which guide the Permanent Council's activity, as well as dignity for human beings and respect for all of our nations. In light of the provisions of Article 43 of the Rules of Procedure, we will now move to approve the... Venezuela is recognized. Thank you very much, Chair. At this first intervention, we will refer to the point of the convening of this d'etat occurred. It was promoted by the countries that claim to justify it here in this organization. This is an atrocity against the democracy, sovereignty, and right to peace that our nation enjoys. It is a violation of all international law. This session runs over the OAS Charter and the will of our people. We reject your invitation to this meeting, and anything stated today will not be valid for our country or our nation. Thank you. Thank you to the Venezuelan delegation. As there are no other requests for the floor, we will move to approving the draft order of business for today, which is document CP/OD-2203/19. It is hereby approved. The ambassador of Argentina has requested the use of the floor. Ambassador, I give you the floor. Good morning, Chair. On behalf of several delegations which make up this permanent council, I will make a statement in support of the transitional government in Venezuela. The delegations of Argentina, Bahamas, Brazil, Canada, Chile, Colombia, Costa Rica, Ecuador, United States, Honduras, Guatemala, Haiti, Panama, Paraguay, and Peru reiterate the right to democracy that all people of the Americas enjoy and the obligation of governments to promote and defend democracy as established in Article 1 of the Inter-American Democratic Charter. We reiterate the constitutional authority of the National Assembly of Venezuela, which was democratically elected, and we staunchly support the steps adopted in order to request humanitarian aid at the international level, that political prisoners be freed, that assets of corrupt government civil servants be frozen, and that we ensure the guarantee of civil servants and members of the military that support the National Assembly in reestablishing democracy and the rule of law in Venezuela. Against this backdrop, we recognize and express our full support to the chair of the National Assembly, Juan Guaido, who took the presidency as the interim president of the Bolivarian Republic of Venezuela in line with the constitutional standards, and we recognize the illegitimacy of Nicolas Maduro's regime. We strongly believe in restoring democracy, representative democracy in Venezuela, led by the presidency of the Republic, and we hope that this will be orderly, peaceful, and include free elections that are just, transparent, with international observations as soon as possible. This is pursuant to the Venezuelan Constitution and also in line with the Charter of the OAS and the Inter-American Democratic Charter. We reiterate the illegitimacy of the presidential elections on the 20th of May 2018 because the free, just, transparent, legitimate process or credible process, it did not have the most basic Highest standards, we regret and condemn strongly the repressive actions at the hands of the Maduro regime against the Venezuelan people, as well as the actions that have led to a total economic collapse, forcing millions of Venezuelans to leave their country behind, seeking food, basic medication, and an opportunity for life in another country of the same region. We demand that security and protection of the interim president Juan Guaido be guaranteed, and also that of members of the National Assembly. We call on the form of the National Assembly to be respected, as well as the rights of all of its members, without limitations on the rights that they legitimately hold on behalf of the Venezuelan people. In this sense, we support the National Assembly to continue working with the aim of ensuring Venezuela returns to the path of democracy, using the means necessary to ensure a peaceful transition in the interest of the people of Venezuela and to return to prosperity and stability for all Venezuelans. We support the ratification of the commitment to Venezuela with the OAS Charter and our will to continue working within full rights of this organization. Thank you. Thank you to the ambassador of Argentina. We are now on point two of the order of business. Therefore, the delegation of the United States has requested the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We actually have a senior representative who will be here. He's actually in the building right now, so if we could just wait for a minute or two, I think that he'll be here. I think he's walking in.
Therefore, if you agree, Mr. Secretary of State, if we can give the floor to the next person. One moment, please.
And thank you. Thank you, all the delegations. We appreciate your patience.
Estimada delegación de Estados Unidos.
To the delegate of the United States. We will give the floor to the next delegation requesting the floor, and then when Mr. Pompeo arrives, we will allow him to speak. So, the ambassador of Paraguay is now recognized. Thank you, Chair. Since June 1st, 2016, a date on which this Council began dealing with the situation in Venezuela, Paraguay immediately stated that political, economic, and social instability had already taken hold, and that political instability affected the basic rights and fundamental freedoms of the Venezuelan people. We, at that time, had urged Venezuela to consider even using a revocatory referendum, which is included in their national constitution, as a springboard for building a solution to the crisis. Then there was a series of statements as part of a dialogue with Venezuela that led to no results, and the OAS and in other fora, the conversations continued, and they still continue. That is, it has been now over 3 years, and we can only conclude that the Nicolas Maduro regime has only found every possible way to avoid and sidestep any possible definitive solution. Therefore, then, since the 10th of January 2019, this council declared the regime in Venezuela as an illegitimate government, and we have seen that with our actions and with history. Therefore, the Paraguayan government declares its full support to the acting president of Venezuela, Juan Guaido, to lead the restoration of public freedoms and democracy in our fraternal Republic of Venezuela. Venezuela can count on the Paraguayan state's full support in restoring freedom, democracy, and constitutional order. We are proud to have been among the first to break diplomatic relations with the Maduro regime. And on this point, we staunchly believe that we are on the right side of history. My country has made strong, firm statements defending democracy and human rights of Venezuelan citizens. We congratulate the representatives of the National Assembly for their courage as the only constitutional authority democratically elected, and today they are beginning to work on returning their country to the rule of law. And we therefore also recognize our admiration for the people of Venezuela for their bravery. We make a sincere appeal to the Nicolas Maduro regime to not use violence against your people. Paraguay will continue respecting international law. We will continue with our foreign policy that is based on principles. We will support this process, both from the OAS and from other fora. We will do so that Venezuela can respect its constitutional order and, as soon as possible, hold presidential elections that are free and in line with international standards in force. Personally, I note that rain is a symbol of greatness, and we hope that it brings good tidings to the Venezuelan people. Thank you very much to the ambassador of Peru. Paraguay. I now give the floor to Mike Pompeo, the Secretary of State of the United States of America.
Thank you very much. The United States is a friend of Venezuela and of the Venezuelan people. We've watched Venezuelans suffer for far too long. We know what they know, that the tyranny of the now defunct Maduro regime has for far too long, choked the country and its citizens. Yesterday, in solidarity with the Venezuelan people and out of respect for Venezuelan democracy, the United States proudly recognized National Assembly President Juan Guaido as the interim president of Venezuela. You've seen the statements from President Trump and from myself. Many other countries, including a number of OAS states, have also recognized the interim president. We thank them for their support. It's now time for the OAS as an institution, as a whole, to do the same. All OAS member states must align themselves with democracy and respect for the rule of law. All member states who have committed to uphold the Inter-American Democratic Charter must now recognize the interim president. The time for debate is done. The regime of former President Nicolas Maduro is illegitimate. His regime is morally bankrupt. It's economically incompetent, and it is profoundly corrupt. It is undemocratic to the core. I repeat, the regime of former President Nicolas Maduro is illegitimate. We therefore consider all of its declarations and actions illegitimate and invalid. In light of these facts, we call on Venezuelan security forces to ensure the protection of Interim President Guaido's physical integrity and his safety. We've seen reports that a number of protesters were killed yesterday and that more than 100 were arrested. So I reiterate our warning about any decision by remnant elements of the Maduro regime to use violence to repress the peaceful democratic transition. The United States did not arrive at this conclusion overnight. We came to this conclusion after a long and bitter experience and following a considered assessment of the facts. And we're not alone. The OAS General Assembly has itself agreed to these facts. In June of last year, the OAS General Assembly declared the re-election of former President Maduro an invalid sham. This past January 10th, the OAS Permanent Council declared former President Maduro's second term illegitimate. Venezuela's National Assembly became the only legitimate, duly and democratically elected body in the country. On January 23rd, National Assembly President Juan Guaido declared himself the interim president of Venezuela pursuant to Article 333 and 350 of Venezuela's Constitution. He made this declaration with the full support of the National Assembly and, most importantly, of the Venezuelan people. In his public address, Interim President Guaido also outlined the steps he plans to take to restore democracy to his country, including free, fair, transparent, and truly democratic elections. The United States stands solidly behind him. We stand ready to support the efforts of the National Assembly, the Venezuelan people, and the interim president to restore democracy and respect for the rule of law in Venezuela. We also stand ready to provide humanitarian assistance to the people of Venezuela as soon as logistically possible. Today, I'm announcing that the United States is ready to provide more than $20 million in humanitarian assistance to the people of Venezuela. These funds are to help them cope with the severe food and medicine shortages and other dire impacts of their country's political and economic crisis. Our announcement of aid is in response to requests from the National Assembly, led by the interim president. As a friend of the Venezuelan people, we stand ready to help them even more, to help them begin the process of rebuilding their country and their economy from the destruction wrought by the criminally incompetent and illegitimate Maduro regime. Our support for Venezuela's democratic hopes and dreams is in sharp contrast to the authoritarian regimes across the globe who have lined up to prop up former President Maduro. And there is no regime which has aided and abetted Maduro's tyranny like the one in Havana. Maduro's illegitimate rule was for years sustained by an influx of Cuban security and intelligence officials. They schooled Venezuela's secret police in the dark arts of torture, repression, and citizen control. Maduro was a fine student at the Cuban Academy of Oppression. We call on the OAS and all its member states to act on basic, decent, democratic principles and the incontrovertible facts on the ground. Each of us must live up to our calling to promote and defend democracy as expressed in the tenets of the Inter-American Democratic Charter, to which everyone in this chamber is a signatory. And we call on our partners and responsible AS member states to show leadership and pledge support for Venezuela's democratic transition and for Interim President Guaido's pivotal role in that. We look forward to welcoming Venezuela back into the fold of responsible democratic nations and remaining in our inter-American community. We look forward to welcoming representation of the interim Venezuelan government to the OAS at the earliest possible opportunity. And we look forward to working with all responsible OAS member states, with the Venezuelan people, our inter-American system, and with the interim government of President Guaido to restore democracy in Venezuela. We each have a critical opportunity to help the Venezuelan people live free once again. I ask my colleagues to reconvene a meeting of foreign ministers to continue our conversation on the peaceful, democratic transition for Venezuela. History will remember whether we help them or not. The United States calls on all nations of the OAS to make the right choice, and make that right choice right now. Thank you.
For Please. Please.
Por favor.
Please. Please.
Por favor.
Please. At the very outset, I told you that this was not allowed. Please. Please.
Por favor.
Please.
Por favor.
Please.
Por favor, señores de seguridad,
please, security, in all due respect, we have to respect the Simón Bolívar room.
Tiene la palabra,
I'd like to give the floor to the ambassador of Peru.
Buenos días.
Good morning. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen.
Por favor.
Please.
Por favor, señores de seguridad.
Security.
Mantengamos el orden.
Let's please keep order here in the room.
Buenos días.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Chairman.
Con su venia,
with your permission, I'm going to now read the declaration from the Lima Group.
Adoptada ayer.
Adopted yesterday.
Por los gobiernos de
by the governments of Argentina,
Brazil,
Canada,
Chile,
Colombia,
Costa Rica,
Guatemala,
Honduras,
Panama,
Paraguay,
Peru. And Peru.
Primer punto.
Point one.
Reconocen y expresan su pleno respaldo.
They recognize and fully support the President of the National Assembly, Juan Guaido, who assumed the presidency of the Bolivarian Republic of Venezuela in all due respect of constitutional norms and given the illegitimacy of the Maduro regime. Two, they support the beginning of the democratic transitional process in Venezuela within the framework of the Constitution with a view to holding new elections as soon as possible with the participation of all political stakeholders and with the guarantees and international necessary standards for a democratic process. Three, they condemn acts of violence that have taken place in Venezuela and urge respecting the rule of law, fundamental rights of all people, and social peace so that there can be a transition for a government. They ratify their decision to continue to firmly support a return to democracy in Venezuela. This was the communique adopted yesterday by the Lima Group. With your permission, then, I should like to read Peru's comments now. In Resolution 1117, approved by the Permanent Council on the 10th of January, it was agreed to not recognize the legitimacy of the Maduro regime, considering that the electoral process held on the 20th of May did not comply with international standards. It did not have the participation of all political Venezuelan stakeholders, nor was there a free, fair, transparent, democratic process. This is crucial for democracy, as enshrined in Article 3 of the Inter-American Democratic Charter. The illegitimate regime The illegitimacy of the regime is furthermore a result of... I don't believe I have the microphone, says the speaker. Very well. Am I being heard? Asks the speaker. I think I was being heard before. Asserts the speaker. Testing. Am I being heard? I am. Thank you very much. I shall continue. The illegitimacy of the regime is the result of a continuous process of dismantling democracy, which was spoken to in this council and support and mediation in good faith were not accepted by the regime's authorities. The consequences are very great. Break in the democratic order and the humanitarian crisis that have become, because of their breath, have become an issue throughout the region. In the resolution 17, we look at the National Assembly as a democratically elected organization in Venezuela. The Peruvian government, in keeping with what was agreed to in that resolution and with the declaration of the Lima Group on the 4th of January, adopted a host of specific measures and reaffirmed its unequivocal and firm condemnation of the rule of law in Venezuela. Yesterday, the Peruvian government recognized President of the Assembly, Juan Guaidó, as the President of the Bolivian manifested its support, and at the same time, Peru made an appeal so that the democratic process can take place peacefully in a transparent manner and respecting all of the constitutional guarantees and fundamental rights of the sister nation of Venezuela, with a view to holding new elections as soon as possible, with the participation of all political stakeholders, observing the guarantees and international standards for a democratic process. And that is why we fully agree with the declaration read in this permanent council by the delegate from Argentina, and we reiterate that it's only through full restoration of democracy and respect for human.
That was the Thursday meeting of the Organization of American States in Washington, D.C., discussing the case of Venezuela. We will continue to follow what is going on in Venezuela very closely. And again, we should be speaking with Tony Solo early next week about that.
And that's all the news we have for you right now. For Community Public Radio, I'm Don DeBar in New York. Thanks for listening.
Hello and welcome to Crosstalk, where all things are considered. I'm Peter Lavelle. An instant media darling and certainly a fresh face. The newly minted Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is rattling some Democratic establishment cages. She calls herself a Democratic socialist, and she has some big plans. Is the Democratic Party and America ready for AOC? Crosstalking Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. I'm joined by my guest, Steve Malzberg, in New York. He is a conservative political commentator. Also in New York, we have Jason Nichols. He is a progressive commentator and Democratic strategist. And in Los Angeles, we cross to H.A. Goodman. He is a columnist and journalist published in the Huffington Post, Salon, The Hill, and other publications. All right, gentlemen, Crosstalk rules in effect. That means you can jump in anytime you want, and I always appreciate it. Jason, let me go to you first because she comes from your wheelhouse, so I'll let you take a strike at it first. She calls herself a Democratic Socialist. I mentioned that in the introduction. She claims the world as we know it will end in 12 years. And before she was became officially a congresswoman, she said that she would be inaugurated and she would start signing bills. Are you very confident that her understanding of democratic socialism is something America needs or wants? Go ahead, Jason.
So, again, I think she misunderstands what democratic socialism versus social democracy. Those are two very different things. I think when she talks about trying to go towards the Scandinavian model, like Norway and Sweden and other countries have done, that's actually social democracy. That's not democratic socialism. So I think she has a misunderstanding of a few things, but her overall ideas, I think, are positive. I think she is a fresh face. I think she's a positive presence for a lot of the older people in the party who, you know, operate with politics as usual. We needed someone to shake things up, and I think she's a great presence.
Okay, that's a very good defense of her. She certainly is inspiring, and she seems like a nice person to know. And when they tried to denigrate her with her dancing video, I think it only grew the people that like her. I thought it was a young person having a good time. Wow, is there something wrong with that today? Let me go to AJ in Los Angeles. I mean, what's your take of AOC? Because she seems like a nice face for the party, but are the policies the right ones for the country? Go ahead, HA in Los Angeles.
Well, speaking of the policies, Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez promised to abolish ICE. She promised Medicare for all. She promised a Green New Deal, a $15 minimum wage, free tuition. These are all ideas that need to be drafted into legislation. Congresswoman Cortez does not have a bill that she's drafted. So that tells me that she's not serious about actually implementing Medicare for all. And that leads to the fact that Bernie Sanders was cheated by Hillary Clinton. Congresswoman Cortez knows very well that Democrats cheated Bernie Sanders. They stole $200 million from Bernie voters, which is why Jared Beck, Elizabeth Beck, and Nico House waged the DNC fraud lawsuit. Then Democrats blamed Russia with quote-unquote evidence that was linked to money from Hillary Clinton and the Democratic Party. And so you have a situation where this new class of progressive people in Congress, they're essentially doing what many pundits on TYT, on YouTube do, what CNN, MSNBC, what a great deal of people do. They actively deceive voters by saying Medicare for all is right around the corner. And then when Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is in Congress, she is not pushing Medicare for all legislation. There is no bill that Democrats are uniting around.
There won't be until the next 2 years. Let me go to Steve first, then we'll make it a free-for-all here. Steve, I mean, you know, she's very empathetic, okay? And I'm kind of echoing a little bit what H.A. had to say there. I mean, these are nice words, and she's emotional, and the liberal media loves it. I mean, in her last public speaking, you know, people have to take responsible. Well, when has anybody in government ever taken responsibility for anything? I mean, the words are nice. But, you know, and it's very naive, and it has a nice, gentle touch. But the country has hard, hard problems and really difficult choices to make. And she's certainly not suitable for it, at least, you know, so far in. Who knows? Maybe she'll be elected president one day. I don't know. Jump in, Steve. Go ahead in New York.
Well, as you alluded to, you know, she's planning on signing these bills, not drafting legislation. So maybe she's waiting for the bill to come to her desk so she could sign it. I mean, she's the gift that keeps on giving. My goodness, if this is the face of the Democrat Party, bring it on. You know, she's one of the very few Democrats who keeps voting against reopening the government. The bill that keeps passing the House over and over again that Nancy Pelosi keeps bringing up. You know why? She said she didn't vote for it. She won't vote for it because it funds ICE, Immigration and Customs Enforcement. She wants to abolish ICE. You know what a radical idea that is? The reason you'll never see substance from her in real bills is because if she has to draft legislation, the price tag, the radicalness, if you will, of her views will come out and be there on the record. Instead of the smiley face on all the late night talk shows, there'll be radical substance and people will say, whoa, that's not good.
Okay, Jason, Steve has taken us to the point where I want to continue. I mean, you know, before the midterms, you didn't have a lot of mainstream Democrats talking about the abolition of ICE, but now you have more and more associated in the establishment here. I mean, to what degree is she as a person and as a media personality, which she's very good at, okay? She's good on Twitter. I've been following her, okay? How much is she pulling the party to the left, and is that in sync with what most people in the country want? Go ahead, Jason in New York.
I think it is. I think in 2018 and in the midterms, we saw the American people basically, there was a referendum on the direction of the country, and I think people are becoming more progressive. You know, I think what one of your guests was saying out there in L.A., I believe it was H.A., was saying, look, the country actually wants progressive policy. I think it's a little unfair to say that, you know, she hasn't drafted this legislation yet when we have a government shutdown right now to think about, and we actually are, they've only been in Congress for about 3 weeks so far. But I will say that I think the country is moving in that direction. The abolition of ICE, I think, makes for a nice hashtag. But what people really mean is a rebranding of ICE. Meaning things need to change. We don't need to focus on getting, you know, the average guy who's selling fruit or not hurting anybody. We need to focus on transnational gangs and human trafficking and many of the things that ICE is tasked to do. So this is and ICE is going in a different direction right now under this president. So I think really, we also have to remember that ICE is a new organization. Mm-hmm. They've only been around since 2003.
ICE under this president is going after I.
Go ahead, Steve.
ICE under Donald Trump is going after fruit stand guys and not gangs. My goodness, here's the
problem.
Yes,
they are. Absolutely.
There was a poll done.
That's absolutely
the
truth, Steve.
There was a poll done. There was a poll done the other day that said, hey, do you favor Medicare for all? 70-some-odd% said yes. Then when the question is asked, are you willing to pay more taxes to fund Medicare for all? It dropped to 37%. When reality comes into these proposals, the American people will say, no way.
Steve.
Okay, hey, let me go to H.A. because, again, you guys
Steve,
are like reading.
You're
like,
AOC's proposal?
Hang on. Let's equal time for everyone here. H.A., I mean, the whole, I didn't really want to talk about ICE so much, but, I mean, again, this is change the name, change the image. What about policy? What about what they do? Okay, because I watched the liberal media. They're given a really bad rap, okay, because it feels good. I don't care what people feel. I think we need policy to make people's lives better. Go ahead, H.A.
When you look at ICE and when you look at President Obama's tenure, he deported 2.5 million undocumented immigrants. And there's a New York Magazine article, Obama administration handed child migrants over to human traffickers. This is on January 29, 2016. There was a Senate report regarding the abuses during the Obama administration. But when you talk about Medicare for all and all these policy ideas that Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez has not drafted, there's no bill that people in Congress or the Democrats will pass before 2020, because they're not going to go into the 2020 election doubling or tripling tax collections like the Mercatus study said. But aside from that, it's President Trump who is bringing home close to 10,000 Americans from Syria and Afghanistan. That's an amazing thing. It's President Trump who's presiding over peace, hopefully the start of peace between North and South Korea. These are all amazing things. Where is Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez? Where are any Democrats saying, bring home our soldiers from never-ending counterinsurgency wars?
Okay, but,
so perhaps we can pay for certain,
but you know, H.A.,
for certain policies.
I guess
they're not saying that.
You didn't get the memo, H.A., because now the Democrats are the party of war, okay?
They're the party. They are the party of war. That's why I'm voting for President Trump in 2020.
Okay,
that's absolutely.
They're the
Steve,
party
that's
of
absolutely
war.
Untrue.
They're the party of
Steve,
war on untrue. Steroids. Okay, Jason, let me finish up with you section of the program. Do the Democratic does the Democratic establishment do they fear people like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez in your party?
So I think the moderate Democrats fear her. I think, you know, there are people who are red state Democrats who may be afraid because, you know, they kind of have to toe a certain line. I think some of the older establishment people certainly fear her. You're going to see people during this election cycle, this presidential election, they're all going to be seeking her endorsement.
Yeah.
So she's a very powerful person and powerful people are feared. So I certainly believe that there are people who want her out of the spotlight,
Yeah.
But she's being helped by the right-wing media who can't take their eyes off of her.
Okay, I gotta jump in here, gentlemen. We're going to go to a short break. Well, I'd like to say that I hope anyone that puts the fear of God into these people, I would support to one degree or another. Okay, we're going to go to a short break, and after that short break, we'll continue our discussion on AOC. Stay with RT.
You're listening to Weekday World on CPR.
Okay, let's go back to Steve in New York. The fact that AOC has been put on the Oversight Committee in the House of Representatives tells me a lot. She's good for the camera. She'll be good for talking points. Of course, they're going to be starting a whole array of investigations into Trump, his family, his businesses. And they want her front and center, don't they? It's a PR move as well. I'm not denying she was legitimately and fairly elected, and I wish her the best of luck. However, she will be used by the party and the media. Steve.
Yeah, she will. But then she's going to have to face, you know, her questions and her questioning and her back and forth. She's going to have to face people who are polished and know what they're saying. I mean, they may be perceived by many as the bad guy, whether it's the Trump family or Trump administration members or whomever. But she's going to have an intelligent conversation and understand the depth of her questions and what she's implying and what the answers mean. And I got to tell you, you know, she will be the first to tell you that she's not up on this, she's not up on that, she's no expert on this. And if that's what she comes off as in these hearings, it's not going to be good for her, and she'll fade away very fast.
Well, Steve, on that point there, I saw the interview with her discussing the Palestinian-Israeli conflict. She really fell flat on her face on that one, I hope. And she did a degree in international relations. It's kind of interesting. Jason, you were disagreeing. I knew you would. That's why you're on the program. Go.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, first of all, what I thought was interesting, I agree that AOC has some factual issues, and sometimes she speaks in hyperbole, like her issue or her comment about the world ending in 12 years. But I mean, when you sit there and you say, I mean, Steve almost had me when he was talking about, you know, she needs to know her facts like the Trump family. That's when I was like, okay, these are people working in the White House, according to Bob Woodward, who is probably the greatest journalist of our generation, you know, basically said that the president's an idiot and that he doesn't know what he's talking about. You know, we've seen all of the generals leave
him.
We'll
see who comes off as the idiot.
From Kelly to Mattis to all of them. And you know, we see he's a very charismatic person.
He's bringing Americans
New York
home.
City guy, so he's able to you know, sell certain things. And as far as Syria, I think Democrats want to bring people home from Syria, too. We just want to do it in a responsible way, which is what General Mattis and other people have said.
Okay.
Jason, you're hitting a real nerve
with me. So I think we should take Syria off the table for this program here and stick with the Democrats. Okay. So let me go to AJ here. AJ in Los Angeles.
Sure.
I mean, one could say that,
Hillary,
you know. I'm sorry, let's stay with the Democrats and AOC, okay? How is the identity politics here working out? Is this something that you think the Democrats are going to continue to pursue within their own party? Because the more they do that, then where's the place for Joe Biden? Where's the place for Bernie Sanders? Because, well, there's a number of things against them. They're straight, they're white, they're old, they're rich. Certainly Biden is here. I mean, it seems to me that this whole identity politics in the Democratic Party, it's a dragon that will eventually eat its tail. Go ahead, H.A. in Los Angeles.
Well, I don't think identity politics or any form of politics on the left will ever work if you don't have Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and other Democrats speaking against the Max Boot Hillary Clinton foreign policy that says we have to oust Assad. We should never, President Obama should never have sent Americans to Syria. That in close proximity with Russian forces, we don't need World War III. That was the worst foreign policy decision, one of the worst, in addition to President Obama destroying Libya with a failed NATO intervention. But the issue is this: there's no push to bring Americans home from war. President Trump is bringing close to 10,000 from Afghanistan and Syria. This is a very good thing. If indeed Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez really wanted all the lofty ideals and the policy objectives, then she would say, bring Americans home from war. We can save over $100 billion a year. And trillions in the long run. Okay. We're paying trillions also in interest.
You know, but H.A., you know what's going on here. They don't want to give Trump anything, even when he's right. And he's right sometimes, and he's wrong sometimes. But give credit where credit is due. You hit that third rail on me, and I really want to stick with AOC here. Steve, look like you wanted to jump in. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'll go back. I'll get away from Syria. You're absolutely right. I know what you're thinking, what you said. I agree with you. But let me move on to this identity politics. See, I think the Republicans are missing a huge opportunity here. You know who the only person was that took Nancy Pelosi to task when she referred to five white men and they should open a hamburger stand? Steny Hoyer in her own party, because he was one of those white men. I think that the Republican Party should demand and ask people like Ocasio-Cortez, you know, to denounce when somebody in their party says angry or old white men, because that's racist and sexist. And by remaining silent, the Republicans are just conceding that point, when it's outrageous to me that they're allowed to just demean white men. They might as well spit after they say white men nowadays.
Two words for you. But, okay. Steve.
Hang on because Steve is hitting another third rail on the other side. The Kavanaugh process, you know, that was a disgrace. The biggest disgrace in public in my lifetime, okay? And Jason, the Democrats acquitted themselves in the most disgusting way. I have to wonder where personal integrity is in America these days, because what he was done, what was the senator from Hawaii? Men should shut up. No, we need to talk more, not less. Okay, go ahead, Jason.
So again, like I said, two words, Steve King. And the Republicans coddled a known white supremacist and said nothing.
Who?
The president has said nothing. Let me tell you something. George W. Bush, when Trent Lott said something that was even remotely racist, George W. Bush called it out and, you know, marginalized Trent Lott. However, the Republican Party has changed since then, and they coddle these guys. That's how guys like Arthur Jones and Corey Stewart run as Republicans, even though they're known white supremacists. This is why, you know, you have white supremacists descend on Washington, D.C.
Yeah,
and say, Hail Trump.
But the Republicans say nothing about it, and that's
what's problematic.
What's problematic here is that Democrats...
They say nothing about it.
The Democrats and the left always play the race card now. They always play the misogyny card now. That's the flush they hold in their hand, because they don't have any good ideas to improve the life of people. All they do is walk around and
say
you're
things,
a racist, you're a misogynist. You know, that's all you do. That's all I hear from CNN and MSNBC 24/7. Okay, they never talk about policy. Go ahead, Jason. Let Jason reply.
You know that Hillary Clinton.
He's obviously not going to let Jason respond.
And Jason does. Jason will respond. Go.
Well, again, yeah. Here's an answer to that is for the Republicans to stop being racist and misogynist. If they stop doing that, then people won't have to call it out, and we can actually start having conversations, substantive conversations about how we can better things for all Americans. But that's not what the Republican Party wants to do.
We're chasing our tail on this issue here. Okay, I don't believe that Donald Trump is a racist whatsoever. People like you, Jason, with all due respect, and I always like when you come on this program here, you were people in your circle of friends were willing to destroy a man's career based on no evidence after 7 FBI investigations, and you still said you want to delay and you want more investigations. I wish Hillary Clinton would be really investigated, and your word I'll use, instead of being coddled, okay? H.A., go ahead, jump in.
It was Hillary Clinton, not President Trump, who referred to black youth as super predators. Hillary Clinton also spread a photo, this is according to The Guardian, of Barack Obama in African attire.
Oh, you want to go down that road?
To take advantage of the xenophobia in 2000. Yes, she actually did. It was Hillary Clinton who took prison lobbyist donations. It was Hillary Clinton the other day.
It was Hillary Clinton the other day.
It was Hillary Clinton. It was Hillary Clinton. It was Hillary Clinton the other day. Without any condemnation, who said all black people look alike. Nobody called her out on that in the Democratic Party. In fact, they defended her. So when Hillary Clinton calls black youth super predators, suddenly she's not a white supremacist. There's nothing that President Trump has said as horrible and as degrading and as insulting as that. The issue with the Democratic Party is that when it's a person, whether it's Keith Ellison, who was accused of abusing a woman, nobody talks about it because Democrats are a bunch of hypocrites. If it's something, no witnesses, Keith Ellison's accuser had medical records. No medical records with Kavanaugh, no witnesses, no location, no exact time, but Democrats were suddenly appalled. And they want to destroy Kavanaugh's life. Keith Ellison, nobody talks about. Bill Clinton, nobody talks about. So Democrats never call out racism in the Democratic Party. They never call out anti-Semitism in the Democratic Party when they said Bernie Sanders should let's go ahead and cheat him, call him an atheist.
Let me jump in here. No, because they have the Harvey Weinstein doctrine in the Democratic Party. Steve, I want to give you the last word. You've been very patient. Go ahead.
Yeah, no. I mean, Bill, you could bring up Bill Clinton, who excused Robert Byrd for joining the KKK at his funeral. He said he had to get elected. Hillary called Robert Byrd, the KKK man, her mentor. You have Joe Biden, who said Barack Obama was the first clean, articulate man, black man or black person to run for president when many others ran before. He said education is better in Iowa than in Washington, D.C., because look how many minorities you have in D.C. compared to Iowa. I mean, any one of these statements from a Republican would have ruined them for life. There is a double standard.
Okay.
It's disgusting.
All right, Steve, let me jump in here.
Okay,
gentlemen, we've had a very robust discussion, and we're still good friends, okay? Many thanks to my guests in New York and in Los Angeles. And thanks to our viewers for watching us here at RT. See you next time. And remember, Crosstalk Rules.
You're listening to Weekday World on CPR, CommunityPublicRadio.org. I'm your host, Don DeBar.